Hi, this is John Zombro, and this is the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, where we embark upon that journey of achieving peak performance at any age, kicking A at, in, and for life. This is episode number 113. Thanks for joining me today. And it is entitled, What to Do About Chronic Stiffness and Soreness. So this topic came up recently for me several times. It's actually a very popular topic, and I've been encountering this for decades, but I had a few folks who expressed their concerns about chronic stiffness and soreness to me. One was an athlete who really explained how he had to do quite a bit of warm-up just to feel like he was able to get moving every day. And another individual was dealing with a chronic inflammatory issue in a joint and really looking for solutions to this problem. So first of all, let's frame what we're talking about when I say chronic stiffness and soreness. Really, it's the idea that you're waking up feeling hobbled a bit. Perhaps it takes several hours to get rolling. Maybe you need to do a 45-minute warm-up with all sorts of foam rolling and stretching before you even feel like you can address proper movement patterns or higher intensities. And so we're not talking here about mild or even moderate episodes of stiffness or soreness if they're temporary and infrequent. This is safe and natural. It's actually an ideal part of the training process, the human experience. But if it's chronic, it tends to become a problem. And where this problem really is rooted is in the mismanagement of inflammation. So first of all, we have to recognize that inflammation is also natural and necessary. It's a process that our bodies use to rebuild and function. But when we have too much of it, this leads to all this stiffness and soreness. Too much inflammation will cause swelling in our joints and tissues, and it can even lead to what's known as a condition of fibrosis in which we lose mobility. So everything in nature, or biology, if you will, and the human body work in balance. We've always got to have that Goldilocks level or look at the bell-shaped curve in terms of different parameters, and inflammation is one of them. Chronic inflammation is a sign of an imbalance. You're either creating more inflammation with various things in the life than your current existence can manage, current health status or current lifestyle, or look at it from the other perspective, your lifestyle is inadequate compared to the amount of inflammation that you're producing. Either way, what happens is we get the scales get tipped on the buildup side more than the clearance side. And this is particularly true when we sleep because the heart continues to beat and pump blood into the body. But if we have these overworked and inflamed areas, they will tend to swell and become sore and stiff, and we don't get that evacuation of circulation or waste products or what we call venous return to the greatest degree that we get when we're up and moving. So that's often why the morning is a very great indicator of how we're doing physiologically. So the first thing I would say about this problem being mismanagement of inflammation is we've got to treat the cause of the inflammation, not just the symptoms. So the symptoms are, you know, if you wake up feeling crappy, you might, you know, do any number of things, drink some coffee, take a shower, hopefully don't use too much in the way of medication, but these are things that can treat the symptoms of stiffness and soreness. But the causes really go back to what we're doing and what we have control over. So I'm going to say this. Let's stop the denial. I know that's tough love, but it's true. So how do we produce too much inflammation that leads to stiffness and soreness? Well, we can do that by training inappropriately. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. By sleeping inadequately. Looking at food as in eating poorly. And also ineffective management of stress, like the ergonomics of a poor-fitting workstation, or some of our habits and how we flow through the day. And what I like to call awareness factors like stress, balance. And so we'll take a look at all of these things briefly. But to a lesser extent, we also want to say, well, if we have inflammation that's occurring because of life and because of training processes, we want to realize that closely related to that previous point, we may be clearing it less effectively. So if metabolic health is impaired by producing too much inflammation, we'll struggle to diminish it and put out that fire. So again, that's that tough love here. But if you're waking up stiff and sore on a regular basis, and it just takes you forever to feel ready to train, your lifestyle's out of balance. And you need to own this fact. This doesn't make you a bad person, but you have to own your stuff and fix it. It's not bad genetics, and there's no pill that's going to fix this situation. It's what you do now. Let's take a look at training specifically. Workload here is what we're talking about. So workload needs to be absorbable. I'm always talking about in terms of the minimum effective dosage and the maximum absorbable dosage. That's where we want to have our training workload. Too little, and we really don't get those stimuli for adaptations. And then too much, obviously this is where we get into the stiffness and soreness becoming chronic. So workload is, and I've talked about this before, but just to clarify, it's the duration times the intensity of a workout. So duration is how long, and intensity is how hard. And when we put those together, we get that impact that it makes upon the body. Or you can also look at the average intensity over a given volume of training, such as a week. So volume is essentially duration times frequency. So if you do an hour workout five times a week, you have a weekly training volume of 5 hours. Either way you want to look at it, I think you're getting the picture that we need to make sure we're doing the amount of training that our bodies can absorb. And sometimes we get into trouble because we have these wonderful schedules or programs, wherever we get them or whether we contrive them ourselves, where we kind of want to stick to the program, but the body just may not be able to do that all the time. And so we always want to be flexible in our execution and regulate up and down. There's an art form there, and a good coach can really help. Now, workout design is also another area. What you do in those workouts with respect to how you warm up, or whatever term you like. I know, some people bristle at the term warm up for various reasons. And so whether we call it cueing or priming or activation, it's your call. But we want to make sure that we do enough of that going from general to specific so that our bodies are not shocked too much in the training experience. We want to look at what is the main focus of a workout. Is it appropriate for whatever our goal is and our current status? And also, again, another word that folks will have issues with, cool down. But what you do on the backside of a workout to kind of get back into a parasympathetic state, and also to not abruptly stop and have excessive amounts of blood pooling in the body and metabolites that aren't as easily cleared. So we want to do those things. And then also we want to think about body specificity or body type, as in dialing in, what you need or what I need, as well as what you want. So to explain that more carefully, maybe I'll just use myself. If I want a goal to do an XYZ performance, and let's say it is I want to bench press 195 pounds times 2 reps. Well, that might be the thing I want, but also the thing I need, because I have quite a few issues with mobility in my shoulders, is I'm going to need to work on having the appropriate amount of mobility and stability in my shoulders to allow me to get that goal, irrespective of the training progression that I do with the weight. So again, we're always thinking about that, keeping the body shored up and able to train, again, in that absorbable level. Okay, now let's look at sleep. So this may seem like one of those Captain Obvious issues, but it's hugely essential. Mo better. For the most part, we want high quality sleep, but we also need enough of it. And anytime you're a hard training athlete, you're typically going to need more. What I want to say about this is, there are some genetic markers. There are some SNPs that can be identified that can show a very, very small portion of the population might be able to get by with less sleep than the average. But in general, we really need the sleep, and we want to respect outliers, but we don't want to be outright liars, if you get my drift. Sleep is when the R words happen. So that's when we reset, recover, regenerate. I can go on and on, but I won't. And without that sleep, again, we can't absorb and tolerate that workload, and then we're going to wake up stiff, sore, and inflamed. So all those hygiene tips that I think by this point everyone's getting very familiar with, but we want to have good control of light in the day, early morning light exposure, bright lights for work, and then a minimization of the blue light portion of the spectrum in the evenings, whether we use filters or glasses or both, incandescent lights, dimming things. Yes, we want to do that. We want to sleep in a cool, dark, or blacked out if possible bedroom. We want to have a wind down ritual. All those things are very helpful in increasing both the quality and duration of our sleep. And we need both the deep sleep and the rapid eye movement sleep. There are some interesting relationships that I think everyone knows but often forgets. If we train more, we need more sleep. And if we're getting less sleep, we may need to adjust training downward, down-regulate it, because we can't train as much if we're not getting enough sleep. So less. I'm going to say that again. If you train more, sleep more. If you sleep less, train less. Succinct. And food. This would be another well-duh moment for me. But there's that statement that I sometimes share. I've shared it here on the podcast. I share it with audiences. Oftentimes it gets a chuckle. I try not to offend anybody, but it's basically graffiti that I saw on restroom walls, particularly in the 70s. And it was basically, eat bleep and die, mother bleeper. And really, that's really the message that comes across. If we eat a crap food diet, which is filled with the evil trinity, the three things that research strongly shows to promote inflammation and metabolic dysregulation in the body, we're in trouble. So what are they? Really quickly, just talking about inflammation as it relates to stiffness and soreness, sugars. You know, we can take a little, but not too much. Excess sugar and excess carbs in general will raise blood glucose levels and increase oxidative stress in the body. Fact. Grains. When they're not prepared according to ancient traditions with things like soaking, sprouting, and fermenting, ground into powders, not unlike cocaine, they can act very much like sugar as well, disrupting the metabolism, irritating the gut, and impairing nutrient absorption. So we really don't want to have those in the diet if we've got a lot of stiffness and soreness. Got to face these facts. And then seed oils. Those are the big six: corn, canola, cottonseed, soy, sunflower, safflower, that are proven to increase inflammation and actually weaken cell membranes in your mighty human beast. So how do you deal with this issue? I mean, one of the suggestions that most thought leaders will say is do an elimination diet. So how to do this is basically we get down to the few things that don't seem to cause problems in most people, or that you know won't cause problems in yourself. And so that's not only eliminating the sugars, grains, and seed oils, but probably dairy for most people. You know, again, it's if we're having a lot of stiffness and soreness, it's worth taking out dairy for a month, and maybe we're just going to eat meat, fish, poultry, possibly eggs, although the egg whites can be issues for some folks, and maybe a few fruits, but probably not many vegetables, ironically. And you do this for about a month and see how you feel. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, again, this is so true for anyone. If you have chronic stiffness and soreness, if you have acne, if you have a skin rash, if you have, other types of aches and problems, it means something's wrong in your lifestyle, and probably your diet is a significant contributor to that. So that's why we do elimination diets. And then, okay, let's say you feel great. Well, now you might want to consider adding back some of those things if you really enjoy them. But the way to do that is to be cautious and add back one thing at a time. Test it several times to see if it's a trigger item. If it is, keep it out. If it's not, you can include it. And this is an ongoing life journey for most of us, figuring things out and also evolving. But highly, highly, highly recommended that you really look at diet if you've got chronic stiffness and soreness, because it's probably one of the more powerful inflammation and illness provokers. Okay, last thing. lifestyle. So, you know, all those other things really fit into the lifestyle as well. But really, here there's some big rocks here. Decrease your prolonged sitting. When we sit for too long, we get that metabolic stasis, stagnation. We don't have the venous return, and the tissues tend to get stiffer, drier, more brittle. All those things have been shown. Set your workstation up properly. If you don't know what that means, you know, get some help from a physical therapist or someone who's skilled in ergonomics, and make sure that your workstation fits you. Also, make sure that as a worker, you're fit for the work that you're going to do, and that includes office work. Take some breaks, move around a lot. Know yourself, know your tendencies, your traits, your characteristics, and try to create a flow state so that you don't have too much fight going on in your day. Sure, it's good to be challenged sometimes in some capacities, but there's a sweet spot for that, and it's probably a low amount. And also, when we look at humans as social beasts and animals that live with other humans, try to respect and communicate and collaborate with others. Make it easy for those folks to go through their life and coexist with you. And that really does help bring down some of our stress-related, inflammatory, and stiffness and soreness-provoking factors. Summing this up, these are all very good reasons for chronic stiffness and soreness. So instead of thinking on the front end, I got to just do all this stretching and take tons of ibuprofen and whatever, really, you need to fix what's causing the stiffness and soreness. Smart training progression, intelligent eating, good sleeping, and other lifestyle factors really do make the difference. And all you really need to do is work on them until you consistently wake up feeling friggin' awesome. This is the natural and desired state of the human beast, and your body will naturally auto-regulate back to it. Removing the major obstacles that we talked about, as you identify them, get rid of those first, and then tweak things until you reach that status of awesomeness that you so richly deserve. Everybody can get there, and you will crush your goals in the process. So thanks for joining me today. Until next time, this is Coach Jay-Z signing out from the Lifetime Athlete, where you can achieve peak performance at any age. We'll be right back.